Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In on a Monday morning here on 610 Sports Radio. Kling still visiting the Hamptons. Should be back. Is he back on Wednesday, Ryan? Is that when Josh is back? On Wednesday here on 610 Sports Radio?
I thought he was back tomorrow.
I thought he was back on Wednesday, though. I thought he was taking Monday and Tuesday off. I don't know. Whatever it is, he needs the vacation after that big KU win over there on Friday night. If I'm not mistaken, I think I saw him swinging from the top of the goalposts as the Jayhawks won that game against Boston College. So he'll be back on Wednesday here on 610 Sports Radio. And coming up on Friday, we're very excited about it because we're taking the show on the road yet again on a Friday, headed out to Raleigh House in Town Center Plaza this week. Friday, we will be there, and Ryan will be behind the grill manning hot dogs for everybody. So
very
free food.
About that.
And we're giving away a Patrick Mahomes jersey is being given away on Friday during the show. How about that? Courtesy of our friends over at Rally House. So you need to come out between 6 and 10 and register. Each hour, we're giving away a Rally House gift card. And then we're going to have the grand prize of a Patrick Mahomes jersey being given away on Friday at Rally House between the hours of 6 and 10. And I got to be honest with you, after what we saw yesterday in the second quarter of that football game, who the heck would not want a Patrick Mahomes jersey after what he did yesterday in the second quarter of that game? And it was one of those games where I think a lot of fans were probably a little uneasy going into the game without Tyreek Hill. What's the offense going to be like? Patrick Mahomes a little banged up. How is he going to play in that football game? What can we expect from the defense playing on the road? And I think people were falsely impressed by the Oakland Raiders last Monday night against the Denver Broncos, because as it turns out, the Denver Broncos are now 0-2 on the year and can't figure out how to get out of their own way. And so I think a lot of people were falsely impressed with the Oakland Raiders on Monday night. So there may have been a little kind of concern going into this football game, but you know what? The concerns were alleviated in the second quarter of this football game, where Pat Mahomes put on a performance that I don't think anybody has ever seen before. I mean, that what he did last night, yesterday afternoon out in Oakland in the second quarter of that football game, my man Buzzy, who's an assistant basketball coach up at Nebraska, sends me a text. He goes, "Goat." And I'm like, yeah, that, I mean, those plays that he made in the second quarter, some of the throws that he made in the second quarter, prove that he is the GOAT, at least right now, and maybe of all time, because as we talk throughout the show today, you're going to hear a lot of accomplishments that Patrick Mahomes had that nobody in the history of the National Football League has been able to accomplish. And he's been one of those guys that is going out there and performing like it's nobody's business and playing football at a high level with Tyreek Hill, without Tyreek Hill, with an ankle bummed, with a bum ankle not bummed. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't have any excuses written down and doesn't allow any kind of reality to get in the way of the way that he plays. Like, most people would have thought going into that game, if he didn't have a great offensive performance, well, he lost Tyreek Hill and had a bad ankle, it would be okay. But Patrick Mahomes wanted none of that. And the Kansas City Chiefs went out there and put up numbers like they've never put up before. In fact, yesterday, the big play number for the Kansas City Chiefs, they had 7 plays of 20 yards or more in that game. And the big question was, well, I don't know if they can get the big play without Tyreek Hill. DeMarcus Robinson, welcome to the party. What a great day he had yesterday. Mecole Hardman, welcome to the party. What a great day he had yesterday. Travis Kelce, welcome to the party. What a great day he had yesterday. I mean, guys stepped up around this team. And when you see a game like that yesterday, that starts to reassure and really let everybody know that this is the beginning of a special season. Not that we needed yesterday's game to tell us that was the beginning of a special season, but when you see guys step up and elevate their game and play better than you could have ever imagined during the course of the season because of injury, now you know you're on to something special. And I go back to something my dad said to me as a kid all the time growing up, and this is going to date me, but it makes the point. He used to sit there and look at the Yankees from the 1960s and always tell me, he goes, they had guys that were on the bench that could have started for anybody. And that's why they were world champions all the time. And now you look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They legitimately have guys on the bench that could start for anybody, and now they're getting their opportunity here in Kansas City to go out and make big plays and to make plays and to really show the rest of the National Football League that even though Tyreek Hill is gone, which I said wasn't going to be that big a deal, this team can still go out there and hit on the big play, put up points, and score with the best of them like they did yesterday out in Oakland in the second quarter. And, of course, you know, Andy Reid dialed it back, obviously, in the second half. They got a little vanilla, you know, with the offense, and rightfully so. You're up 28-10 or whatever it was. Why sit out there and show a lot of stuff when your defense was finding ways to get turnovers and make plays and you were kind of in control in the second half? There's no reason to go out there, especially with Mahomes' bum ankle. There's really no reason to go out there and try to light it up and put up more points and big plays throughout the course of the game. But, man, yesterday was just exactly what the doctor ordered for everybody. You needed to see people step up. People stepped up. You needed to see Mahomes have a nice day. Mahomes had a nice day. You needed to see the defense go out there and make plays. And, man, the defense went out there and they made some plays. Gave up some big ones, but they came up with turnovers when they needed to come up with the turnovers. And I thought yesterday's game was a very, very, very textbook type of football game. You grab the win, you leave Oakland, and now you come home and you got a game against the Baltimore Ravens to open Arrowhead Stadium that will have golden zones this weekend. People are fired up about the home opener here in Kansas City. We can't wait for this game to get going on Sunday afternoon and really facing a Baltimore Ravens team that has a lot of people talking right now after their performance in the first 2 weeks of this NFL season. So it's going to be a clash on Sunday out at Arrowhead Stadium. It's going to be a fun football game on Sunday out at Arrowhead Stadium. But in between now and then, we have a lot of time to talk about beating the Oakland Raiders and knocking off those bags for the last time out in Oakland on a baseball field. And Patrick Mahomes talked about that second quarter and what they were able to do.
We were just hitting on the plays. I mean, it was the same game plan as the we kind of stayed the same game plan, called the same plays. We hit on them in the second quarter, and we missed them in other parts in the game. And so, I mean, we had a great quarter, but as an offense, it was too much sloppiness, I guess you would say. We weren't being efficient as we usually are.
Well, and I don't know if it was sloppiness or not being as efficient as they usually were or anything like that. I just think Oakland played some really good defense at the start of the game. I think Oakland lead in this game. So you give a little bit credit to where the Oakland Raiders are. They played really, really good for the first 15 minutes of the game. And then talent shows why talent is better than anything you can possibly have out there. And that's Patrick Mahomes. The talent rose to the level and they started making big plays. And they're like, all right, we let Oakland hang around long enough. Boop, let's go. Let's score a touchdown pass here on the first play of the second quarter. And that's what they did. And they made it 10-7 at that point to DeMarcus Robinson for 44 yards, 5 seconds into the second quarter. And the Chiefs were on the board. And that's just where it began in the second quarter for this team. And they were just unbelievable after that. They were unbelievable after going, for the first play of the second quarter for a touchdown. And they didn't stop. They went boom, 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 boom. Four touchdown passes in like the span of 5 minutes, it seemed like, and this game was definitely out of hand. And with, you know, this team not having Tyreek Hill, did they have to go out early and try to prove they could throw the deep ball?
I don't think it was any point to try to prove that we could do it, I guess you would say, without Tyreek, but it was just running the offense the way we run it. I mean, that we're not going to change what we do. I mean, obviously, we want Tyreek out there. He's a one-of-a-kind player, someone that's special on the field, but we're going to run our offense the way we run it, and guys are going to step up and make plays when their number's called.
And that's what happened yesterday, man. Guys all around Patrick Mahomes stepping up and making plays. Guys like DeMarcus Robinson, guys like Mecole Hardman, guys you didn't really know much about yesterday came through and made some big-time plays for this offense. Now, I'm sure a lot of fans were sitting around, and Ryan, you were up at Winning Streaks yesterday during the game for our watch party. We had softball yesterday, so I apologize for not getting up there. We had to go coach the girls in softball yesterday. Not a good performance by them.
Missed a hell of a party. That's your bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, kids first, man. Always going to be kids first on that one. We didn't coach very, very well yesterday. We lost the softball game.
And you got to do a better job.
Got to do a better job. I'm taking full blame for why the 8-9-year-olds lost yesterday. It's on me. It's on Coach Luke. It's on Coach Brandon, especially on Coach Steve. He's not doing his job. He's not pulling his weight, celebrating his 18th anniversary.
Crap together, Steve.
Yesterday, Steve needs to get his crap together. You're absolutely right about that. So we didn't coach well enough, but you were up at Winning Streaks yesterday. I can only imagine through the first quarter of this game, there was a lot of uneasy Chiefs fans with a 10-0 deficit. And for the first time since Patrick Mahomes has taken over as quarterback, they didn't score in the first quarter. They didn't score a touchdown in the first quarter.
You'd think there would be.
So,
there wasn't
a lot of uneasy Chiefs fans. Good, because I didn't look at any social media.
Patrick, we trust.
Okay, good. I didn't look at any social media yesterday. I didn't look at my phone yesterday. Came home, watched the game like it was live, because if I knew the score or something like that, I just couldn't settle in and watch it with a true feel of watching the game. So I came home, watched it as live. Don't know how people were reacting. I'm looking a little bit now back on social media, and I see there was some panic set in. And we think because Patrick Mahomes has shown us for the first 19 games of his career or whatever it's been, that scoring is pretty darn easy with this guy at quarterback. Well, Cam Irving says, come on now.
Some games are like that. Kind of had to settle in. Some games are like
it seemed like everything started clicking.
Everybody just kind of had to settle in. Some games are like that. Everybody's used to us coming out and putting up at least a touchdown or two a quarter. So, to explode like that and then kind of lull a little bit in that second half, it was tough, but it's one of those things where it's a good check for us as an offense to just try to continue to go out there and maintain drives and just play and execute.
So Cam Irving's like, hey, you know what? We don't score two touchdowns every quarter, every single time. That's just not feasible in the NFL. But in the Patrick Mahomes day and age of the National Football League, that is pretty feasible. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes threw for 400-plus yards just for the second time in his career. And that's interesting to hear because I would have thought Patrick Mahomes had done that a lot more. I would have thought Patrick Mahomes had already, eclipsed 400 yards like 17 times in his career. It seems like that he's a guy that was always throwing for over 400 yards. Now, he's always throwing for over 300 yards, but for the second time in his career, he threw for over 400 yards yesterday, and he proved that he could throw for over 400 yards in a game without Tyreek Hill, without Kareem Hunt in the backfield. He proved that he could do it with Damian Williams, with Shady McCoy, with DeMarcus Robinson, with Mecole Hardman. I mean, he did it yesterday, not exactly with a who's who cast of wide receivers and running backs. He did it yesterday with guys who you probably didn't know a lot about until you went into yesterday's game. And he also did it on a bum ankle. And after the week started last week, for me anyway, when Wednesday rolled around and Andy Reid said he was going to practice and Eric Bieniemy said they were going to be fine and they weren't going to change things up, I kind of took it out of my mind that Patrick Mahomes was hurt, that he didn't have a bum ankle, that there was nothing wrong with Patrick Mahomes. But clearly there obviously was. I mean, the guy's gutting through a bum ankle. He took a really big hit against Jacksonville last week, and those ankle injuries, as you know, they don't heal right away, man. That's why they have an NFL ankle committee. It takes time for these things to heal. It takes time for these things to get better. And so I just, once they went into, game week mode last week, totally forgot about the ankle injury to Patrick Mahomes, and clearly Patrick Mahomes did as well, because Andy Reid mentioned it yesterday about this guy gutting it out with a bad ankle.
Yeah, I didn't change anything with his ankle. We just played, and listen, for him to push through it like he did, and he kind of blanked it out of his mind, and just that's the way he practiced, and that's the way he played today. And none of the players, you couldn't see any signs of weakness there. And at the same time, he got in and got his treatment. Our doctors took care of him, and the trainer, Rick, did a nice job with him, and he spent a ton of time making sure he was ready to go.
So there's Andy Reid going, yeah, we didn't really change anything up. He just gutted it out, and as Ryan was saying before the show started, just check another box. Can he gut it out, play tough? Yeah, he can gut it out. He can play tough.
Gritty.
He did that yesterday, right? Gritty, gutty, tough quarterback in Kansas City,
baby. I mean, I don't know how much it means to anybody else. It was just it occurred to me. I'm like, well, this is the first time that he's had to really play through something like that. Like I know in the first game he came back after injury, but like
sure,
for him to have to prepare all week on an injury and him to have to say, you know what, I'm going to put that in the back of my mind and go forward with it.
Right.
It was the first time he's had to start a whole game that
yeah.
way.
So. Yeah, it was. And it's just another check in the box. And you're right about that. There's nothing wrong with mentioning that at all and saying, hey, checked another box, clearly proving the kid can do just about anything that he wants to do. Coming up, if you know who won the fantasy pick the pop, you could win a great prize pack from Smokehouse Barbecue. 913-576-7610 is the telephone number if you know the fantasy pick the pop. And one player stepped up yesterday that I've been telling you about for quite some time now. We'll tell you who it is next.
Fesco in the morning.
All right, back back at it here on 610 Sports Radio. Kling is off for the next couple of days. Be back on Wednesday here on the show. Chiefs win 28-10. They are now 2-0, sole possession of first place in the AFC West. It was a big game. I told you, a big-time win for the Kansas City Chiefs because Oakland was floating around there top of the division after last week's game with the AFC West win that they had over the hapless Denver Broncos, which a national embarrassment. Can we just go ahead and call the Denver Broncos a national embarrassment for the way that they played yesterday? They are the only team in the history of the NFL since the two-point conversion was installed in 1994 to convert a two-point conversion with under a minute to go and then lose the football game. That's what the Denver Broncos did yesterday. Not a very good performance by them. But you know who had a good performance yesterday in fantasy football? Boy, I am making a name for myself over these last couple of days. 913-576-7610. The Smokehouse Barbecue Fantasy Pick to Pop. If you know who had the best fantasy Sunday, you can win a prize pack courtesy of Smokehouse Barbecue that includes a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices. They catered our BMA golf tournament on Friday, had some burnt ends, had some beans. All the top-notch food from Smokehouse Barbecue can be yours if you know who had the fantasy pick to pop. Don and KC, who's the big winner, Don? Don? Going once, going twice. Don is gone with the fantasy pick to pop. Maybe we'll get a backup winner there, Ryan, to see who can win that fantasy prize pack from Smokehouse Barbecue, because if nobody wins it, then we get to keep it for ourselves here on 610 Sports Radio. Let's try Chris in Kansas City. Chris, do you know who had the fantasy pick to pop?
I believe it was you, Bob, with Saquon Barkley.
It was, my man. You got it right. Not only did I win with Saquon Barkley, Ryan, but I clearly dominated. Kramer took Josh Jacobs yesterday, who had a nice 50-yard run for the Oakland Raiders. You took Kai Kamara, and I took Saquon Barkley, and he tripled everybody's scores for the most part yesterday. So Saquon Barkley, the winner in our fantasy pick to pop.
Didn't have a strong showing.
2 weeks in a row I've won the fantasy pick to pop. 2 weeks in a row.
That's not true.
Well, it was because Deshaun Watson had the best day last year. He won if you counted Monday night. If you counted Monday night's games, because the two of us stooges picked, Monday night games last week. But if you count the Monday night game, I am now 2-0 on the season in the fantasy pick to pop, and I am now 2-0 in the survivor pool as well. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. How's that taste?
I mean, okay, I guess.
Yeah, you're not good with it, are you?
Kind of nutty.
Guess who I'm picking this week? Joe and I have already talked about it. We're taking the Dallas Cowboys, 21-point favorites over the Miami Dolphins, which a colossal
bold
disaster.
Bold strategy you got there.
It's called the survivor pool. It's not called the I'm picking Cleveland and Carolina pool and getting eliminated after the first 2 weeks of the season pool, is it?
Yep. Now, did that happen to anybody? Two more victories than CDOT had survivor wins.
That is exactly right. I've been telling you guys this for a while about DeMarcus Robinson. I like this guy. I really like this guy as a football player. I think he's going to be a good football player. And he was just kind of waiting on his opportunity. And maybe DeMarcus Robinson is kind of the Whit Merrifield, if you will, of the Kansas City Chiefs, a guy that we know has some talent, but had to wait for that right opportunity to be able to realize that talent. And the Tyreek Hill injury, while a lot of fans looked at it, went, oh, my God, what's going to happen? How's this team going to produce without Tyreek Hill? I told you from the minute it happened, it was kind of an irrelevant injury, in my opinion, because of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And then you factor in some of the other players that are around these guys and guys getting an opportunity. And DeMarcus Robinson got his opportunity yesterday. And DeMarcus Robinson put up, I guess you could say, Sammy Watkins-like numbers in that game from what Sammy Watkins did in the first game of the season against the Jacksonville Jags. And you saw yesterday DeMarcus Robinson do basically the exact same thing with 172 yards receiving yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs. Even I didn't think DeMarcus Robinson would put up a game that good, and I've been a secret supporter of DeMarcus Robinson. Not secret, but I've talked about it on the air. Six catches, 172 yards, two touchdowns yesterday, and then, of course, that big 44-yard touchdown to get the scoring started for the Chiefs in the second half. But I've always liked DeMarcus Robinson, and I know for a fact there's a a team out there that is very, very much in love with DeMarcus Robinson, that pretty much calls every week and asks for the Kansas City Chiefs to trade DeMarcus Robinson, and they've been, you know, unrelenting to trade DeMarcus Robinson because they know how good he can be. And I thought he showed that yesterday. Now, a couple of the balls that Mahomes threw to him were obviously just unbelievable balls that Patrick threw to DeMarcus Robinson, but he got his opportunity yesterday, and he really started to emerge and to show everybody what he can be as a player. And I think, you know, for the most part, fans, if you asked them, what do you think about DeMarcus Robinson? You'd probably get it. I don't know much about the guy. He's just, you know, he's like the fifth wide receiver or whatever it is for the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, the fifth wide receiver, fourth wide receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs, I know for a fact there's one team in the NFL that thinks he could be their number one or number two wide receiver in this league right now. That's how highly thought of this kid is around the National Football League. And I think DeMarcus Robinson, now that he got his opportunity to play here in Kansas City, is going to be able to show everybody else how good he is yesterday. And it was really fun watching him play and really fun watching him get the opportunity and then to take advantage of the opportunity. A lot of guys are given an opportunity, but a lot of guys don't take advantage of the opportunity. And DeMarcus Robinson did that.
Every week can be a big week for any of us guys. We don't go out to the game thinking it's McCole week or Sammy week or it's my week or Kelsey week. It could be anybody week or it could be all of our week. Today, a lot of us got in the end zone and we made a couple plays today. And
he's right about that. You don't go in saying this is going to be whose game it is. We're going to get the ball to Tyreek Hill, or we're going to get the ball to Sammy Watkins, or we're going to get the ball to Travis Kelce. You go out there and you get the ball to the guys that are open, that are taking advantage of the opportunities that are out there. And after last week's game against Jacksonville, everybody in the NFL went, holy crap, Sammy Watkins is back to being Sammy Watkins, why he was drafted, what, number four or whatever it was out of Clemson a couple of years ago. This is why Sammy Watkins was picked so high. So what did the Oakland Raiders do? They did a really nice job of taking Sammy Watkins out of the equation yesterday. And he had six receptions for just 49 yards, no touchdowns on the day yesterday. Very pedestrian to what he did against Jacksonville. But what makes this Kansas City Chiefs team so good is that while the defense was focused on Sammy Watkins and maybe a little bit focused on Travis Kelce, even though he had a big day yesterday, it gave DeMarcus Robinson the opportunity to step up. And DeMarcus Robinson took advantage of that opportunity and stepped up. And now here we go. Week three, Baltimore Ravens, good defense, good football team coming into Kansas City. Who the hell are they going to stop now? Who are you going to try to take out of the game against the Kansas City Chiefs? Because now they have shown Sammy Watkins steps up in week one. Tyreek Hill goes down. DeMarcus Robinson steps up in week two. You can't take either of those guys for granted. And then, oh, by the way, Mecole Hardman's going to get into the action as well, and he's going to go out there and make some plays and have four catches at 15 yards a clip. Who are you going to eliminate now if you're the Baltimore Ravens? All of a sudden, even without Tyreek Hill, this offense is still hitting on all cylinders because guys all around are taking advantage of their opportunities and stepping up when need be. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, we shouted out 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. You text the topic, we'll talk about it, whatever it is that is on your mind. And I told you when the game was over last week, but I'll tell you what game. We do that next.
Fesco in the morning.
Oh, we're back at it on a gorgeous what we call Monday here. Actually, it's called Victory Monday. Chiefs with the big-time win over the Oakland Raiders. Final time in Oakland yesterday. Final time playing on a baseball field. Andy Reid with not-so-fond memories of the Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been a small part of that. There have been some great games here. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to miss it. There's some things that come with that. I mean, this year we didn't have to dodge sewage in the, you know, in the locker room or anything. So, I mean, there are things that come with an older building that you have to deal with. And but the tradition is pretty awesome.
So there it is, Andy Reid with his backhanded compliment, if you will, of
turds
the Oakland
bad,
Coliseum.
Tradition awesome.
Yeah, tradition awesome, turds bad. And, I don't know if you caught this yesterday during the game or not, but of course it happened because it's Patrick Mahomes. He played his final game in the Oakland Coliseum on the same day that his dad played his final game at the Oakland Coliseum. Oh, did you know that? Did you have any idea that was going to be happening? I feel like
that may have been mentioned a couple of times.
Of course it happened that way yesterday. And, of course, it was 2 days before Patrick Mahomes' birthday, who is celebrating his big, 24th birthday tomorrow or whatever it is. I wonder if he'll get Postmates and have some nice food delivered to him tomorrow.
It's his Brad Keller
birthday. It is his Brad Keller birthday. So congratulations to Patrick Mahomes turning 24 tomorrow. Photo of the day comes from at BryceBets132 on Twitter. And it's a photo of Raiders owner Mark Davis sitting in row 12 in coach on an Allegiant flight from Oakland to Las Vegas last night. So very nicely done by the Lloyd Christmas looking dude that owns the Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders, sitting back in coach, saving all that money for his organization. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We'll shout it out momentarily. But when it was over yesterday, we always kind of figure out when I call the games over. I'm a little bit more, I guess you could say, premature than everybody else when it comes to calling games over, right? I called it over on Wednesday. Yeah.
His last two games have been over prior to the team even leaving the city.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the first game I called over on Tuesday. The second game, I waited till Wednesday last week to call the game over against the Oakland Raiders. I don't know that I'm going to be calling the game over this week against the Baltimore Ravens, because I think the Chiefs are going to win. But I think the Baltimore Ravens are a very, very good football team. It's the home opener at Arrowhead. It's a bad time to be playing the Chiefs if you're the Baltimore Ravens. In fact, anytime's a bad time to be playing the Chiefs. But home opener after two big road wins, you don't want to do that. So I'm not going to call it over this week, I don't think. Maybe Friday it'll happen. But when it was over in the game yesterday, as I told you, I watched it on delay because I was out coaching the girls' softball team yesterday. For me, is when this happened.
Here's Mahomes thrown from the dirt. Up top and open for the touchdown. First play of the quarter. DeMarcus Robinson beats the Raiders secondary for the score.
And that was DeMarcus Robinson's first of two touchdowns on the day yesterday. Thanks to our friends Jim Nance, Tony Romo over at CBS for sending us that audio. Very nicely done by the Kansas City Chiefs.
It was over when the team was down 10-7.
That is correct. Okay. You could feel the momentum swing. You could just see the Oakland Raiders crawl into their shell and go back to being what we call the Oakland Raiders, which is nothing to write home about. And after they gave up the 7 points there, it was over for them. The Chiefs gained clearly all the momentum in that second quarter, scoring 4 touchdowns in the second quarter. I think my favorite was from 1.5 to 40 seconds to go in the half, the Chiefs scored 2 touchdowns. They scored 2 touchdowns in the span of 1 minute in the second quarter, and Oakland had the ball in that time as well, and the Chiefs still found a way to score 2 touchdowns in the span of basically 1 minute.
So what happened in the other second quarters? How'd that go?
The other 3 quarters for who? Oakland or for Kansas City?
Sure.
Well, I think for Oakland it went well in the first quarter. For them, the second half was kind of a snooze fest. I think that was kind of boring. The Chiefs were up 28-10. You knew they were going to win that game. Got a couple of big turnovers in the second half, and I think ultimately Andy Reid just kind of dialed it back. You got the bum ankle with Patrick Mahomes. You've got obviously Baltimore coming up. They're more of a threat to you than the Oakland Raiders are. You've got a 28-10 lead. I mean, at what point of the game?
They put it in cruise control.
Well, I think they went vanilla. I do, and I think that's the right play at that point in time. At what point of the game did Romo and Nance first mention bringing in Matt Moore to be the quarterback? Because they did. I think there was at least 5 to 7 minutes to go in that game, and they were talking about bringing in Matt Moore. Now, is this the right time to bring in Matt Moore as the backup quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs? And I'll be honest with you, at that point in time, I wasn't against bringing him in to allow him to play a little bit because of the injury with Mahomes. And you're up 28-10 with 7 minutes to go. You're not going to blow that game to the Oakland Raiders. Now, maybe if it was against New England Patriots, you're thinking differently about it. But against the choke artist known as the Raiders, whose owner flies in coach on Allegiant Airlines to Las Vegas last night, I'm not buying in. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line.
Maybe that was the only flight he could get.
He's the owner of an NFL team. How about NetJets, bro? Like, I know you're trying to save a buck because you're building this new stadium down in Vegas, but if I'm owning an NFL team, I'm having the private jet so I can go when I need to go and not have to go deal with the airport. Like,
so now
there's
we're
nothing
knocking people for not having private jets.
There's nothing more like just nasty than dealing with an airport, especially on a Sunday night when everybody's trying to get out of town and get to where they need to go for the start of the work week. If I'm Mark Davis and I got all the money in the world, yes, I'm doing a private jet on that.
913 says the square beef patty at Wendy's would be a lot cooler if it were not surrounded by a bun that hides its shape.
That's a very
Wendy's
good point.
Wendy's needs see-through buns. It hangs off the side of the bun.
But I see what he's saying about that. Sometimes the Kaiser roll is too big for that. I like the lettuce bun.
Huh.
Give me a lettuce bun or a pretzel bun. I don't need too much of a wheat bun.
As it typically is, we start off with a lot of food questions.
Of course.
What is more important for a hot dog, length or girth? I like a good bun length.
You do?
Yeah.
You like the length? I think Costco combines the length and the girth of their hot dog better than maybe just about anybody.
I guess why do I have to choose?
But the bun is too much at Costco. Like, I don't need as much bun as they provide. I'm in it for the taste of the wiener. I'm not trying to get it because I like the bun.
You're in it for the taste of the wiener.
I am. I'm in it. I am, absolutely. And you'll be cooking wieners on Friday for everybody out at Rally House in Town Center out in Leawood this weekend. We'll be doing the show on Friday, so come on out. Ryan will be cooking up hot dogs, and they're going to be free. We're giving away a Patrick Mahomes jersey as well.
Say hello, and I'll put a wiener in your mouth.
There you go. I like that.
Let's see here. Miami's running back duck under pass being thrown to him. Yeah, did you see that?
No, I missed that.
Fitzpatrick went to go throw like a screen pass, and he ducked. Like, he thought there was somebody behind him or something.
Oh, God. And they tell us the Miami Dolphins aren't trying to lose, right? They're 100% trying to lose.
816 says, I think CDOT works at the Arby's by me. I ordered two roast beef sandwiches, and he gave me a turkey sandwich and a Reuben.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand that. I mean, if he... The way that he's been picking survival he should be working at Arby's.
If he's working at Arby's and you said, hey, CDOT, choose for me, and he picked those two things instead of roast beef, then
I'm
going to
go out on a limb and say this. I think we could have found any random Arby's employee and they would have stayed in the survivor pool longer than CDOT.
Yes. I think my children would have stayed in the survivor pool longer.
You could have just thrown darts at the NFL schedule and stayed in this longer than CDOT.
I think much like the Miami Dolphins, CDOT tanked.
I think he did, too.
I think he tanked.
I think it was just motivated by laziness. That's just me.
Well, that's just you. I understand that. But I think he tanked on purpose. He wanted out.
816 says Cam Newton's a chump. Hashtag fantasy problem.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot on Friday. We've seen the end of Cam Newton. I believe in the NFL he cares more about, modeling scarves that are made of silk than he does maybe playing in the NFL. And that's fine, man. So you get to that point where you're done playing and you don't want to do it anymore. You've got to have that right guy who loves the game and is really good. The Drew Breeses, the Ben Roethlisbergers, the Tom Bradys, the Patrick Mahomes of the world. Guys that love playing football. They're few and far between.
707, if you had to live in Los Angeles or New York City, which would you choose?
Well, I've already lived basically in New York growing up, so I would choose Los Angeles.
I would choose Los Angeles just so I know what the rest of the country gets instead of 60 minutes.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point. Yeah, because except on the West Coast,
what happens?
Like, what does it go like to a black screen? Do you get color bars? Do you get like the American flag and the national anthem?
You just got to wait several hours for Andy Rooney?
What happens when the NFL ends in California? What do they get? They never tell us what they get. They just tell us what they don't get. Is anybody out there in LA that can tell us what are you getting after football?
Oh, my God, this guy's living my dream. 913, going to crap on my boss's truck and then quit my job in about 15 minutes.
There you go. Much like Travis Kelce talked about last week when we talked about it on the show. Would you go dump on your boss's desk to get traded? This guy clearly is, right?
Save that number and see how this turns
out
for you. Let me know.
Yeah,
I'll let your boy in 15 minutes and let me know how that worked out.
Here's Travis Kelce talking about that.
When I was like in my seventh year, the Broncos were making a run. Peyton Manning was still the quarterback. Peyton called me up and basically asked me to go Antonio Brown on our GM at the time in order to get traded because there was some conversation about trading me to the Broncos because they had lost their left tackle for the season. And he asked me to go into my general manager's office and to poop on his desk. Travis Kelce. If you were not playing for the Chiefs, if you were playing for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Chiefs wanted to trade for you, would you go and poop on your GM's desk in order to get traded to the Kansas City Chiefs to play for Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I would probably poop on the desk for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some opportunities you just can't pass.
You just can't pass.
So there it is, Travis Kelce on the Tomahawk podcast with Joe Thomas talking about possibly pooping on the desk to get traded.
That's a big man to like hunker over.
Could you imagine like Joe Thomas squatting on somebody's desk? Or even Travis Kelce, that's another big man squatting on somebody's desk. That would not be a good sight. I would not want to see that.
Reggie in Anaheim, tell me what happens after the NFL goes away.
Gotta know, man. What happens? Do you go to local news or like where do you go from there? Because by the time the NFL
reruns.
But it's only like 4 o'clock out there, right? When the NFL ends, it's like 4:30. You're not going quite to local news then. Yeah, what do? You roll into like My Little Pony reruns? Like where do we go when it ends? What happens? I gotta know. Things people need to know. What happens on the West Coast when you don't get 60 minutes? That is another edition of Shout It Out. Coming up, it hasn't happened in the NFL since 2005. And man, it was good to see. Plus, hey, Raiders, why even bother? We'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning.
Black Betty, whoa, Black Betty, ram, 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 right? That's kind of what this is, right? Like a cheap knockoff version of that song, one of the best songs to be played at Arrowhead Stadium. They play it every Sunday for home games. Whoa, Black Betty, ram, ram, ram,
also,
ram.
That song we're not supposed to talk about ever again.
That's exactly right. Not allowed to play that song either out at Arrowhead because of, you know, Gary Glitter and all. But
I mean, we're not supposed to talk about it.
We're not supposed to talk about it. Chiefs win 28-10 yesterday over the Oakland Raiders. But the real topic of the day, the big story that everybody is talking about, what the hell is on the West Coast instead of 60 minutes? My friend Paul and I have talked about this for years. I think every football fan sees that, laughs about it. During the football season, you remember 60 minutes is on. Like, what are the chances you ever check out 60 minutes when the football season is not going on, right? Not very high.
Compelling point.
And the same thing for Jimmy Fallon goes for me. Like, when I watch Sunday Night Football, I'm going, oh, yes, that's right. Jimmy Fallon is on this channel now as well. Because if I'm watching his stuff, it's usually on the interwebs.
316 says they live in Vegas for 3 years now, and it's just paid programming and local news.
So like, you get a Ginsu Knives ad, and you know, Ron Popeil is telling you to set it and forget it out there? Is that what we're getting out there?
Is that still running, the Showtime rotisserie grill?
How could it not be? Doesn't everybody still need one of those? Or, you know, some other, like, bad umbrella that opens the wrong way that you know, have you had problems opening your umbrella? And they show the guy, like, he can't open an umbrella. So.
Been a while since I've seen Ron Popeil. He's still with us. He's 84.
He is. I was talking to somebody on Friday out at the American Royal Barbecue when I was out there with Westlake and Traeger, and they said that they were on, like, a boat out in California, you know, and then they pass Ron Popeil's mansion. Like, he's got this huge mansion in Southern California on the coast. And my response was, why were you on a boat out in the ocean in California? He goes, well, I got a friend that, you know, took me out there. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
He's a pocket fisherman.
That's right, yes. So there you go. You have Ron Popeil still got a mansion out in California. I'm watching the game yesterday like everybody was, and I like Tony Romo a lot. He didn't call as many plays yesterday, except the one with, I believe it was Dan Williams coming out of the backfield. Revontaze Burfict had a chase down. I mean, he nailed that play perfectly, and the Chiefs picked up like 6 or 7 yards. It was a kind of a pedestrian play, but he nailed the play exactly what was going to happen on that play. And you wonder, you know, why certain quarterbacks are good throughout the course of their career, and then you see Tony Romo come up to the booth, and you're like, oh, hey, that's why he recognizes that kind of stuff right away. But they were talking about the Oakland Raiders yesterday, and it was kind of at that point in the game. It was late in the third quarter, you know, right at the tail end of the third quarter, I believe, is when this took place. And they were talking about kind of like the culture change that John Gruden is trying to establish out in Oakland.
I think what John Gruden has done has already shifted the culture there. I think he's already started the process of really building this program. And I'm telling you, you can already see it. Just the you know, they're not quite there yet. I think you can tell that today. But they're also way improved. And I think the future is bright with the way they're going about this and the people that they've already put on this football team. I mean, they went into the draft with one defensive end. Defensive end.
That was Arden Key.
Yeah. And now, I mean, like, him and Mayock together, I mean, it's impressive.
Good, thanks.
It really is.
So that's Tony Romo and Jim Nance on CBS talking about the Oakland Raiders trying to establish this culture, trying to establish something good out there in the Bay Area. And he says the future is bright for the Oakland Raiders. And I'm listening to that and I'm saying, okay, define what bright future means. Because if you're in the AFC West, the odds of you winning that division over the next decade are pretty much slim to none, as long as Patrick Mahomes is here playing football for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of what been going on with the New England Patriots, because you look back at the New England Patriots since 2001, only two times did someone else win the AFC East. The Jets got it in 2002 and the Dolphins won it in 2008. And that's kind of what we're looking at here right now in the AFC West. The Denver Broncos aren't going to do anything anytime soon. They are a colossal disaster right now. The Chargers are sitting at 1-1. Their quarterback's, you know, hanging on by a thread. And then you have the Oakland Raiders, who, you know, futuristically speaking, may be the second best team in the AFC West when you look ahead, because of, you know, the youth and the coach and the GM and the quarterback and all that. Maybe they're projecting into the future, have the opportunity to be the second best team in this league. But what are you really trying to accomplish now if you're in the AFC West? I mean, the best case scenario for these teams out in the AFC West is a wild card team. And the Raiders can work their tails off. They can put a good team out there. But when it's all said and done, the Chiefs are always going to be the ones left standing. They're always going to be the team that's out there on top because of the quarterback, because of Andy Reid, because of the established guy that they have running the franchise. And I'm not sitting here and saying I feel bad for the other AFC West teams, because I don't. It's finally time for us to enjoy kind of the fruits of our labors here in Kansas City and get the opportunity to have a good football team and a great quarterback and an unbelievable kind of arsenal on offense right now. But I look around the AFC West and I think you guys are trying to do something that is virtually going to be impossible for the next 10 years. By the time John Gruden is done with his 10-year contract, even if he lasts that long, which I don't think he will, but if he lasts that long in those 10 years in Oakland, two of them already out of the way, he's got 8 years to go on that contract, probably going to have a quarterback change at least one time during that transition or during that time of his 8 years here in Oakland and in the AFC West. How many times do you think over the next 8 seasons the Raiders and John Gruden realistically stand a chance to win that division? I'm going to tell you the answer is probably about zero. These other teams in the AFC West right now are looking at the Kansas City Chiefs like the rest of the AFC West has looked, or the AFC East has looked at the New England Patriots for the last two decades. You can try all you want. You can go out there and create great game plans. You can go out there and create a good organization with great players. You're just not winning the division, and you're ultimately fighting an uphill battle. Every other team in the AFC West goes into the year behind the eight ball because of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. You have to hope something drastically bad happens to the Kansas City Chiefs to even give yourself an opportunity over the next decade to win that division. And if I'm a coach in that league right now, I'm looking up at the Chiefs, I'm like, we don't stand a chance. We've got to find a way to win the wild card. We got to compete with the rest of the AFC, because the Kansas City Chiefs aren't going to give us an opportunity to compete with them and win this division. No matter how good we are, the Kansas City Chiefs are always going to be better. Sitting here in Kansas City, man, that's one hell of a feeling. That's a great feeling to have right now, that for the next decade, our team is always going to be better than our three quote-unquote division rivals that we have out there. And as soon as Tom Brady falls off out in New England and decides to hang it up and call it a career, the Kansas City Chiefs will own the AFC like the New England Patriots have owned the AFC over the last, you know, two decades or so. So I heard that and I appreciate that. And that's what you have to do when you take over an organization. But really, John Gruden, you got 8 years to go, man. You're not going to win one division championship in those 8 years because of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think you're kind of just, you know, you're chasing your tail in that type of situation.
You tried your best and you failed miserably. The lesson is, Never try.
That's exactly right. If you're the other teams in the AFC West, why bother? Like, why even bother trying? You don't stand a chance. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Patrick Mahomes did something that has never been accomplished in the 100 years of the NFL yesterday. But first, what the internet was freaking out about.
I get my news from the internet, like every other normal person under 70.
Has the whole world gone insane?
It's all fantastic with the internet.
I'm not freaking out.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Oh, the internet.
Ah, yes, the internet was freaking out about it late last week. We touched on it on Friday. ESPN, for the first time since 2005, and I can't believe it's been that long. It feels like it was just yesterday, Ryan. They bring back NFL Prime Time. When we were kids, man, that was the show to watch, was it not?
I thought prime you were going time. In a different direction there. When what you said show, I was very... Never mind. It was, though. It was an amazing show. I was excited to hear that Tom Jackson was back.
I love Tom Jackson. I love Chris Berman and him together. I think they provide a great show and provided a great show for all of those years. And for 14 years, we've been without NFL prime time.
People always said that Berman's shtick was hokey, and I feel like we just didn't know what we had until it was gone.
I think his back, if he didn't do that, I think Chris Berman would be perceived a lot different for sports fans, because if you just watched him on NFL primetime, his nicknames, the fast pace, his rapport with Tom Jackson, there really wasn't a better duo when it came to giving you NFL highlights or NFL information than those two guys after Pat Summerall and John Madden. And it was two different, totally different kind of, you know, genres. Pat Summerall and John Madden, obviously, with the play-by-play. But the primetime highlight stuff, man, set the bar for what it should be when given the highlights of the NFL. And now it's back. It's on ESPN Plus, so it's an internet-only version of NFL primetime. But still, nonetheless, primetime was back yesterday, and they loved up some Chiefs.
Mahomes and those sort of weapons. We saw Watkins last week. They have Kelce. They got running backs. They got Shady McCoy. They have a lot of – well, it starts with the QB.
Well, again, we see that flexible game plan, and you've got that mind of Andy Reid to develop your offense and your offensive scheme every single week. And you've got a quarterback, I think, who's just discovering how talented he really is. That is a throw that almost no quarterback in the league can make across his body, going from number to number. The deep ball gets on top of you a lot quicker than you think. And he's got weapons, as Boone said, he's got weapons everywhere. So I'm thinking, you know, you've got between them and the Patriots, those are, to me, the two most creative offenses in football.
And creative in different ways. I mean, Patrick Mahomes will hit you with the deep ball. Patrick Mahomes will use the speed. Tom Brady just kind of chops you up and uses the slant route from Julian Edelman to get play after play after play. Factor in Antonio Brown, and he had a nice game yesterday. You've got yourselves a completely different style of offense. They use the running game a lot more in New England. So you got the two top offenses in the NFL that I think do things, quite honestly, a lot different. Chiefs are all about the big play, the quick strike. The New England Patriots will slice and dice and move that ball down the field just about any opportunity they get. Chris Berman also went on to say, so really good stuff to have NFL primetime back. And the cool thing about it being on ESPN Plus, I don't know if it was this way for the live version, but it was for the version that I watched this morning. 45 minutes, no commercials, straight through. It was awesome to see those guys yesterday back on NFL primetime. And Berman goes, and they gave us a bye in week one. The schedule makers were good to us. So they decided after week one, hey, let's bring this back and put it on ESPN Plus. Another reason why you may subscribe to that ESPN Plus. So NFL primetime is back, baby. And you can check it out on by the Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads. It's the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. They bring you what the internet was freaking out about every single day. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. It is your chance to win $25 to Broadway Deli. How about that, ooh, Ryan? How are we going to reward somebody with $25 to Broadway Deli?
I reward people just for listening, and then you have to dial. So a little two-parter. All you got to do is listen for this.
Pat got an arm.
Yes, he does. Who is that?
That was Mecole Hardman breaking the news yesterday that Patrick Mahomes has an arm.
Okay.
Pat got an arm.
So next time you hear that, drop me caller number.
Well, let's go with 15, right?
That sounds right to me.
How do we not go with caller number 15?
15, the next time you hear that, drop 913-576-7610. I will hook you up with $25 to the always delicious Broadway Deli.
What was your favorite Mahomes throw yesterday?
All of them. They were so good.
They were all very good. I like the touchdown that was called back by holding.
Damn it, I was about to say that one.
Were you?
I really liked that one. That was good.
That, you know what else was good? There was a little wheel route that they had in the game to, I want to say it was Shady, or it was either him or D-Rob, or not D-Rob, but Damian Williams out of the backfield, a little wheel route. I love those plays. And I do love the one that Jackson and Berman were talking about there across the numbers, where he's on the numbers on the right side of the field and hits, I think it was DeMarcus Robinson, on the numbers on the left side of the field, and doesn't just hit him, but drills a ball in there. Like, Patrick Mahomes literally can make every single throw on the field, and we say that, but each week we see another throw that Patrick Mahomes makes, and Patrick Mahomes makes look easy. And that throw across his body yesterday to complete that pass, I think it was on like a 3rd and 9 or something like that, a big time play in that game yesterday to keep the Chiefs offense on the field and to continue to move down the field on the Oakland Raiders. And so he made some really nice plays in yesterday's ball game. And every believe I watched that kid go out there and throw the football around like he did. And while they were doing that yesterday and putting up the 28 points, for our standpoints, that's a low number. Like, we're thinking a minimum of 35 a game, right? That's what the Kansas City Chiefs are normally going to do, is about 35 points or so a game, 33.5 points a game, whatever their average was last season. They've now scored 25 points in 22 straight games. And that has never happened before in the NFL. In the history of this league, we have never seen an offense do what the Kansas City Chiefs accomplished yesterday, and that's 25 or more points in 22 straight games. And Andy Reid knows his quarterback's good, but he says, you know what? I am never, ever, 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 ever going to take this kid for granted.
I never take it for granted. Some of these throws, I mean, I've told you this before, right, that some of these throws he makes, you go, all right, and we just buzz right through them, you know, like it happens every day. Well, I mean, it kind of does happen. It happens in prep, but that's what makes him unique. And the fact that he's willing to continue to work on his game the way he does is also very important. In this league, if you let off an inch, then you're going to fall. And he stays right on top of that and everything that he does.
So that's Andy Reid talking about Patrick Mahomes never taking the kid for granted, makes throws every day. And Andy goes, yeah, in practice too, he makes these throws every single day. And I like hearing Andy Reid say that, because to me, Andy Reid has always been kind of this stoic, nothing surprises him, nothing gets him too high, nothing gets him too low. Very much like Ned Yost was when the Royals were winning championships. You're never too high, never too low. That's the sign of a good leader, a guy who can just kind of be steady the entire time. And Andy Reid, you know, for better or for worse, is very, very steady. You never see him excited. You never really see him down. And the only time you really see him excited is after a win. He says, how about them Chiefs? Like, that's the level of excitement you see out of Andy Reid. And to hear him say that about Patrick Mahomes, here's a 20-year NFL head coaching veteran, but like a 40-year coaching veteran when it comes to college and NFL combined, been around a lot of good quarterbacks and a lot of good stars in this league over his time coaching in the NFL. And even he's sitting there going, man, I just can't take this kid for granted. I mean, there's no guarantees he's going to continue to do this every single time. And it's good to hear that Andy Reid, a guy who you would think has seen it all in the NFL, is still wowed and amazed by what his quarterback is doing, because his quarterback is doing things that we've never seen in the National Football League before. It doesn't matter where he is on the field. It doesn't matter what the down and distance is. This kid has the opportunity to make a big play. And
I got an arm.
I think we heard it yesterday by, I think it was Jim Nance who said it at one point yesterday. He says it's 3rd and 20. It might as well be 3rd and 2. Like, it doesn't matter. When the Chiefs got that big holding penalty and set them back, and I think it was 3rd and 20 or 2nd, whatever it was in 20, it doesn't matter what it is and distance-wise, because you believe that the Chiefs are going to be able to go out there and convert it. And that's the type of quarterback that they have with Patrick Mahomes. They've got a guy who doesn't care if it's 3rd and 20 or if it's 3rd and 2 or if it's 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 45. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Patrick Mahomes is going to go out there and he's going to convert. And I think that's something really special that just about every quarterback that we've seen through the history of this game can't go out there and do. And I may be speaking in you know, what's that word that you use sometimes to describe me, Ryan, where I speak in the terms of, you know, grandiose ideas and thoughts and things like that. Some hyperbolic Bob. I think it sounds almost hyperbolic right now, but each week this kid is doing something that makes you go, holy bleep, I can't believe I just saw that. He's setting records and doing amazing things week in and week out. So I don't think there is any hyperbole when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. He literally is doing things that nobody has ever done in the history of the National Football League, and he's just 19 games, 18 games, whatever it is, into his career. 19 games if you factor in that Denver game at the end of 2017. He's 19 games into his career as a quarterback, and he's doing things that Joe Montana was never able to accomplish. He's doing things that Kurt Warner was never able to accomplish. So many Hall of Fame quarterbacks are looking at Patrick Mahomes and going, damn, what size jacket you wear, son, because you're getting one. We're going to put it on you here now. He may be the first player in the history of sports to go into the Hall of Fame before his career is over. That's how good this guy has been through the first 19 games of his career. And it really is pretty cool to hear Andy Reid say, I ain't taking any of this for granted, man. We know this could end almost immediately, but this has been really, 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 really fun to watch. And he is not going to stop appreciating what Patrick Mahomes does for him game in and game out. Also yesterday afterwards, Andy Reid said, I think something kind of interesting. They talked about this team, you know, becoming different because of obviously Tyreek Hill not being in the game yesterday. You had to have other guys step up, and they did. But what you also have to have is the defense play better, your skill position players play better. And with a bum ankle, Patrick Mahomes played really, really good yesterday. And overall, as a team, Andy Reid loved what he saw out of his squad.
I'm proud of our guys. We were down by 10 points there, and for everybody to kind of rally and come back, I thought was a big step. When you come here, you got to be a team, and there's no place in the league more than that. Even though our fans snuck in here, and man, they're great, but and we thank them for taking that chance coming here. This is a tough place to come into. So, I was proud of our guys for doing that, rallying it up, and just kind of putting their foot down, saying enough's enough, and getting we grew a little bit today.
Yeah, I think when Andy Reid puts it in those terms, being down 10-0 on the road and coming back in the second quarter and scoring four touchdowns, boom, 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 like they did, I think ultimately what that shows you is that this team has no fear. They play with no fear. They play with the expectation that even if they are down 10-0, they're going to win that football game, and they're going to go out there and find a way. And we can sit here and wax poetically all day about the offense, and we will. I have no problem doing that. But we'll talk about the defense coming up in a couple of minutes as well, because, you know, I thought the defense played well. And again, I feel like I'm more of an apologist, if you will, more of a supporter of this defense than both Ryan and Josh are at this stage of the game. But I thought they played very well yesterday, and I thought this team did kind of grow a little bit. When you really truly think about it, they came back from a 10-0 deficit in a very hostile place to play. They didn't start well offensively. They didn't start well defensively. And they still found a way to go out there and win without one of their better weapons and their quarterback with a bum ankle. Like, yeah, I think the team did grow a little bit yesterday. And it continues to knock down barriers and continues to really throw egg in the face of anybody who kind of doubted them coming into this season. Could they do this? Could they do that? I think yesterday was another one of those boxes that were checked by this organization that says, yeah, you know what, man, we're down 10-0 on the road. So what? Let's go back and score four touchdowns in the second quarter and win this thing and send everybody home in Oakland very, very unhappy, and send everybody in Kansas City home very, very happy after yesterday's performance. Andy Reid taking a shot at the Oakland Coliseum too, Ryan, with the, our fans snuck in here, very dangerous of them to do something like that. He's right about that. Every once in a while they would show the crowd, you see like one red guy in all the sea of black. I'm like, eh, that guy's got a death wish sitting in there with his Chiefs jersey on, right in the middle of the black hole like that. Like that's one of those things I'm looking at. I'm like, hey, you go ahead and you do that, man. I don't know that I necessarily want to be put in that situation. And it's all going to change in Las Vegas. You can go to a Chiefs game just fine next year in Las Vegas. Ain't nobody going to bother you out there because nobody's going to be able to form that black hole like they did in Oakland, because it's going to be a very corporate-type environment out in Oakland, or out in, I should say, Vegas, when the Raiders move down there. So it'll absolutely be Chiefs home games moving forward in the new Las Vegas stadium. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, we'll talk a little bit about that defense because they played well yesterday. James in Centerview, your winner of our 7 o'clock hour prize. He won $25 for Broadway Deli just for listening to the show. And the Chiefs got a big day defensively from someone you may not have expected. We'll tell you who that is next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.